Got a little thought I'd like to share with us this morning. I feel like I'm bringing part of my library up here. I'm not very technologically advanced. I'd like to thank us about the thought of a path this morning. And some of the scriptures I looked up, the definition for path is a well-trodden road, way, and Webster says a course or a route. A path has a destination or a destiny to it. It has a place that it leads us to. And there's different scriptures. I don't have a whole lot of, I've got several scriptures I'd like to read, but I want us to think about a path and how in our human tendency, sometimes it's easy for us to get off the path that the Lord wants us to. I remember one time when we were living at Guthrie, I was doing a little bow hunting. I bought a bow. Sister Jane Slee told me about one at a garage sale. It was a bow and arrow and had the arrows with it and had the deal, so I got practicing that and thought I'd go out bow hunting. And I'd went out and marked my path. I had a little tree stand. But you know, when you mark it in the day, it's a little bit different than seeing it at night. And because I put little markers out on limbs, you know, those little things where you can see those little ribbon deals to mark my path. But when you get there 4 o'clock in the morning, it all looks different. And it was hard to detect. And I came up against a fence, a barbed wire fence, and I knew I was off course, so I just sat down. I just sat down on the ground and waited till the sun came up so I could see to navigate. But I wasn't able, and it's in humans, you know, some paths kind of get a little hard to recognize sometimes, and then it's so easy to get distracted, you know, walking and looking at nature, and you get off the path, and you're just headed. Oklahoma, you know, you have probably a fence about every mile somewhere. But in Oregon, in the wilderness, you don't have that. They have miles and miles where there's no fences at all. So being able to discern the path that we're on and recognize the importance of the path that we're taking. I want to look at a verse in Matthew, the 7th chapter. He says in verse 13, he says, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. So here it uses the word way, but it means the same thing as it's a path. Broad is the path that leadeth to destruction. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Now this word straight, in looking it up, it said, narrow from obstacles standing close about. Straight, it's like it's something that's difficult to pass through because of the confining space that there is. But I want us to think about these verses. You know, the broad path, the broad way, he said there's many, many people go down the broad path, down the direction. It's something that's just easy kind of to fall into the path. Brother Galen mentioned the prince, the spirit of the power of the air. It's just easy to get into the broad way, but it's more difficult to get into the narrow way. Now I want to look at Luke. It's the same, kind of the same verses in the Gospel of Luke, the 13th chapter. We find a little bit of a different expression. Luke 13 and verse 23. It says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know ye not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, We have eaten and drunk in thy streets, in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and ye yourselves stressed out." Now I want us to note, I want to note here that it talks about sin and iniquity different times in some of his. It was people that were on the wrong path. They were following the wrong course, even though they had, the influence of Christ there somewhere in their life. They've had, it says, we've eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. There was like a close proximity, but they weren't on the right path. They weren't on the right trail. And their destiny didn't end up in the right place. A path always leads us somewhere. It leads us in a direction. And it has a destiny to it. This word, strive, Jesus says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. It says to struggle, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary. That's what the word strive. The Greek diaglot uses the word earnestly endeavor to enter through the narrow door. Earnestly endeavor to enter in to the narrow door. Now I want to go to Psalms 119, 33rd verse, I believe. He says in Psalms 119, 33, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness." That's a good prayer, I believe, for us to pray is, Lord, incline my heart unto thy testimonies, unto thy commandments. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Here he said, make me to go in the path of thy commandments. So the word of God is a path. The word of God shows us, it teaches us, it instructs us in the path that God, in the path that he wants us to take. The scriptures kind of narrow things down, don't they? They kind of show us the path that the Lord wants us to take in our lives and the thing that he wants us to do. Now, in reading these different verses, I notice it's a path, and yet it's not always just with the literal feet. You know, there's places that I wouldn't want to go to. I wouldn't want to go there literally. I wouldn't want to be there. That's out of the path. That would be out of the way and be out of what God is giving instruction for. But also I can get out of the path, out of the right path in my heart, in the attitudes of my heart. So it's not just our feet, but it's the attitude of my heart and my mind and my spirit. I can get out of the way. In other words, I can do a lot of the same things that I'm doing, but I can still be off the right path by the attitude and the spirit that's inside of me. He said, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Make me to go in thy path." Now I want to read some scriptures from the Septuagint. In Proverbs, the fourth chapter, these verses are so good the way the Septuagint brings them out. But in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, in the 10th verse, he says, "Hear, my son, and receive my words, and the years of thy life shall be increased, that the resources of thy life may be many." And I thought that was very interesting. He's that the resources of thy life may be many. What does the King James? Someone have the King James for that? The 10th verse, Proverbs 4 and 10.
"Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of my life shall be many."
And it stops there? Okay, but this one has, it says, that the resources of thy life may be many. There's another verse that says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." That's Proverbs 4:23. That's in this reading too. Okay, we'll read it when I get to it. But it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of these are the issues of life." So from the heart, we recognize, he mentioned this other verse, the resources or the issues that are coming out of our life actually come from the heart. And that's what keeping the right path, we're going to have to keep the right heart. We're going to have to keep our heart in tune to give God a willing heart, a pliable heart. To be able to stay in the right path, we're going to have the right heart to go along with it. I want to continue to read. In verse 11 it says, "For I teach thee the ways of wisdom, and I cause thee to go in right paths." So here's the instruction. He mentions wisdom. "I teach thee the ways of wisdom, and I cause thee to go in right paths. For when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not be distressed. Take hold of my instruction, let it not go, but keep it for thyself, for thy life. And then he mentions, go not in the ways of the ungodly, or the paths of the ungodly. Neither covet the ways of transgressors. And he mentions, he says, in whatever place they shall pitch their camp, go not thither, but turn from them and pass away. You know, we're in a world filled with temptations, filled with influences that, and sometimes we don't realize maybe exactly the influence or where an influence or a temptation may be coming from, but we want to try to regard the source of an influence and give respect or acknowledgement of what is the source of the influence. Where is it coming from? What's behind it? What's the back of that? We want to be able to recognize the sources and allow the Lord to help us to be able to see, open our eyes to see the sources of influences that affect our lives because they try to deter us. And we're human. And I want to, I guess, say this. If we get off the path, the thing is to get back on the path. If we realize that we've made a mistake, we made a failure, the best thing to do is not to just keep going, but to stop and get back on the path that we were on, that God, that we were on when we had, before we had our failure. In Pilgrim's Progress, Christian, I believe, if I remember the story correctly, there was a path that was on the other side of the fence that was going the same direction as the path that he was on. But it looked easier. It looked better to try. It looked better for him to travel on that fence. So he hopped over the fence. He got off the path. But he said, it's going the same direction. But see, if you're on the other side of the fence, you're not going to see where that path's going. You're just going to see the path, and a path leads somewhere. It has a destiny. It has an end. And I believe that's how he ended up. Giant despair captured him in his territory, and he ended up in Doubting Castle because he got off the path. So it's not always, we don't want to just always look for the easy way. And I'd probably say too, we don't always want to look for just the hard way. Because in studying this, the Scripture talks about paths, and in plural, there's many paths. But it mentions the left and the right. And I'm going to continue to read here. He says, for they cannot sleep unless they have done evil. Talking about the ungodly. Their sleep is taken away and they rest not. For these live upon the bread of ungodliness and are drunken with the wine of transgression. The bread of ungodliness, the wine of transgression. But the ways of the righteous shine, excuse me. The ways of the righteous shine like a light. They go on and shine until the day be fully come. But the ways of the ungodly are dark, and they know not how they stumble. Now, I will say this, that sometimes there's going to be paths that look like it's light. I've heard people testify different times that they thought it was light. They thought that what they were following was light. But later on down in the path, they realized it was the wrong. The devil, that the scripture talks about, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So we have to ponder. We have to pray about our path. We have to ponder our path. We have to consider the path. And we need the Lord's help to stay on the path. It's not just an automatic thing. We get busy with life, and before we know it, boom, where's the trail I was at? It's gone. It can disappear so easily, and then we got to stop and look for the path. He said, "My son, attend to my speech and apply thine ear to my words, that thy fountains may not fail thee." Here it talks about the fountains may not fail thee, and up earlier it talked about, it mentions that thy resources of life may be many. Applying, my son, attend to my speech and apply thine ear to the words. You know, Lord, help us today to give. I read a real good example about, it was a lesson done with these small children, and it was by, I can't remember his name. He's the one that wrote The Spirit of Christ. It's a wonderful book. He was a minister, I believe, back in the 1800s. He's written a lot of books. I've got several of them. But he brought out this illustration that they showed these young children a picture, and then they told them, look it over real good, and then they said, okay, close your eyes. They took away the picture, and they said, think about what you saw, what you've seen in that picture. And so then they opened their eyes and they began to tell what was in the picture that they saw. And then the instructor began to reveal many things to them that they didn't really see the first time. And so they held the picture up again and said, examine the picture closely. And then they took it away and they said, close your eyes and think about what you saw, what was in there. And they did it the third time. And there was things that they were still seeing that they didn't see, that they didn't see before. These children would open their eyes and they were straining, trying to take in everything is there. And he said, the Word of God is like that. Sometimes we just, you know, we can read it so many times, it's like it glosses over to us, and we're really not getting the picture. We're not really getting perhaps what the Lord wants until we begin to really scrutinize and ponder and focus our minds in. And that's what you read in these scriptures. He said, hear my son, hear my words. And he talks about striving in Proverbs. Another place he mentions seeking after it, like you're seeking after riches and treasures and riches, you know, after, like people go after riches. That's seeking after what God has and the wisdom in the scriptures. Our scriptures are our salvation today. We've got to take heed and follow the scriptures, the testimonies, the precepts, the judgments that God has given. We want to follow those, and we want our feet to be in those paths. But I want to go on here. He says, they are life to them, to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. He said, keep thine heart And the King James says, with all diligence. This says, keep thine heart with the utmost care. The utmost care to guard our heart and to watch our thoughts, to watch our meditations, to watch the direction of our mind. Because he says, out of these are the issues of life. Remove from thee a froward mouth, and put far away from thee unjust lips. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids assent to just things. Make straight paths for thy feet, and order thy ways aright. Now here he says, turn not aside to the right hand, nor to the left, but turn away thy foot from an evil way. For God knows the ways on the right hand. Now this is the Septuagint reading this. He says, for God knows the ways on the right hand, but those on the left are crooked. I want to draw us a little We have three paths, one in the middle, one on the right, one on the left. And he says, turn not aside to the right hand, nor to the left, but turn away thy foot from evil. And then it says, for God knows the ways on the right hand, but those on the left are crooked. And he will make thy ways straight, and he will guide thy steps in peace. You know, today I believe the Lord will help us. If we seek the Lord, we come to places of decision all the time. We make decisions, choices in life, and they lead. There's consequences with them, and they lead us in certain directions. There's another verse that says, in Isaiah, it says, thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. So when we get off course, we turn right or we turn left from the path that we're supposed to be on, the Lord will be faithful to talk to us, to help us come to a place. Maybe we travel down the right path for a ways or the left path for a little ways, and we recognize, whoa, I don't want to be, this path is not taking me in the right direction. At first, you don't. I mean, it looks like they can be going the same direction. But after a while, after journeying on the path, it can begin to veer off and take us in a different direction. I want to write just a few thoughts here. Both of these are head to destruction. Both the right and the left. He said, avoid it. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Both of them will have sin in there somewhere. Eventually, maybe not at the start, but they'll head in that direction. I want to make a distinction. One of them's heads towards the other world. And one of them heads towards self-righteousness. Whatever the path, I believe the Holy Spirit will be faithful to speak to us. There'll be a word behind us saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. I believe the Holy Spirit is faithful to every person if we don't override the checks, if we don't override the conscience. I know we can sear the conscience, but I want to read a few verses here in the book of Galatians. The Galatian congregation got off path. They got off course. Galatians 1:6, and I'll go through these pretty quick. He says, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel." So they were soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel. And we know that they were trying to add circumcision to Christ. They were trying to add the law to Christ. Galatians 2:16, it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" I was wanting to write flesh up there. Flesh is on both sides also. It's on the left and on the right. It goes in the way of the flesh. 5:4. Now there's pretty strong language in here. 5:4. He says, "Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace. For through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." I didn't look it up, but there's a place where Paul talks about one esteeming one day above another. He mentions one eating herbs, and I wonder, when you read the catalogs, it just from a natural standpoint, it almost looks like the one that esteems one day above all the other days would be more spiritual. It looks like more self-denial. One that just eats herbs looks like it would be strong. They would be a stronger person. They would have more self-control just to eat. But it says they were weak in the faith. They were weak in their understanding. They didn't comprehend. So it's not always what looks like the hardest way is the right path. And it's not what always looks like the easiest way is the right path. So Lord, help us today to ponder the path of our feet. And that's also in that verse he mentions. That was 4:26. Well, I'm in Galatians now, but it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established." To ponder is to weigh, to look at, examine, and consider. And we need to be prayerful about the path that we take, because it does lead somewhere. Now, I want to say this too, and I'm saying this from experience. You may be able to close a door, but they're not always easy to close as what you think they are. In other words, certain paths, I may be able to recover from a path, but it's going to be difficult, and it's going to have consequences, and it's going to have influences. I believe we can be saved if we humble our hearts and we seek God with all of our heart and He gets us back on track. But I'm going to say there is, those doors there can be hard to close, and the influences can be, go beyond what we thought or comprehended at the time when the path just looked like it was right in line with the right path. So may the Lord help us today to ponder the path of our feet and allow the Lord to teach us and to help us to understand His thoughts and His ways. I wanted to read that. There's a little poem I forgot. The Road Not Taken. But I've heard it as The Road Less Traveled. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, and leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. I feel real challenged in my heart and soul because I know in the natural realm that it's so easy to get off paths. It's so easy to get off. And I believe it's that way spiritually too. But if we pray, we seek the Lord, and if we are attentive and careful, I believe the Lord can help us to stay on the right path and be, you know, the ones that said, you know, He said, you've taught in our streets, we drank in Your presence and those things, He said, but depart from me, you workers of iniquity. It just, I believe both paths will eventually end in sin, end in destruction. So Lord, challenge us today and keep us, help us to ponder the path of our feet and prayerfully consider. And I believe the Lord will help us. He'll show us the right way. Appreciate your attention this morning.